Welcome to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Think about it. Our view of God determines what we think on all moral, cultural, and economic issues. It even determines how we vote. Hope for the future of our country and our world lies in our ability to make God the issue, in every issue. Today, we're going to talk about Vladimir Putin. The fact that if God doesn't exist, he's a hero. But if God does exist, I don't know. We'll let Brad Bright figure this all out for us today. Brad Bright, thanks for being with us.
No, it's great to be here, Jim. I don't know that I'm going to figure it all out for you, but we're going to talk about it.
Well, I don't know. I think you probably got a pretty good handle on this, and that's really what I want to make sure I do. Okay, let's just start off with this question. There are consequences to our logic based on whether we think the God of the Bible exists or not. Today, we're going to throw caution to the wind and dive in deep. If God doesn't exist, what is the basic human condition?
Well, if God doesn't exist, then all that's left is survival of the fittest, right? That natural selection, which Darwin came to call survival of the fittest. Now then, if that's your starting point, how do you get from survival of the fittest to love your neighbor? Without God, you cannot do that. If God doesn't exist, here's the bottom line point. If God doesn't exist, morality is a fairy tale, just like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. And I challenge anyone to prove me wrong, because there is no source for moral obligation. Why am I obligated to be kind if God doesn't exist? Why am I obligated to treat you with respect if the starting point is survival of the fittest? You know, I remember a number of years ago, I was at the University of Washington in Seattle. And I was talking with one of the philosophy profs there who was an atheist. Now, he wasn't a rabid atheist. He was a great guy. I loved chatting with him. He was the sort of guy you'd love to go out and have lunch with, have a Coke, or if you drink beer, have a beer with, or something like that. I'd drink a Coke. But so we were chatting and we were talking about relativism. And then he said, no philosophy prof in this country worth his salt believes in moral relativism. That's the philosophy of the masses. He said, it's clear there are moral absolutes in the universe. But then he made a statement I will never forget. He said, my problem is I can't figure out where they come from.
Oh. What does it mean that there's moral absolutes in the universe? I mean, the universe is a bunch of matter. Is he saying, where are the moral absolutes he's talking about?
Yeah, that's his problem. He said it is self-evident that moral absolutes exist in the universe. Self-evident. But he said, I don't know where they come from. He was just being honest. We were having a conversation between two guys. He said, I just can't figure out where they come from. He said, that is my problem as someone who doesn't believe in God.
Okay. So let's take this back to our buddy Vladimir Putin, who's having some fun in just really loving on his neighbors with some bombs, missiles, and mutilation and that kind of stuff. He's killing thousands of Ukrainians and Russians. Thousands of Russians are dying as well. In his mind, he's a hero. But is he a hero?
You know, I don't even know if he's a hero in his own mind. You know,
Well, he's denazificationing the Ukraine. He says he's getting rid of the Nazis, is what he said.
Yeah, well, that could all be rhetoric. We don't know what he really thinks inside his own head. He may be a bad guy. He may know he's a bad guy. We don't know. But here's what we do know. If there is no God, then all that's left is survival of the fittest. And if Putin doesn't believe in God, and I suspect he doesn't, but I don't know that, then why not do what he's doing? I mean, he is the poster boy for evolution. He is the poster boy of survival of the fittest. And frankly, if evolution is true and God doesn't exist, we should be thanking him for pushing the evolutionary process forward. That is, getting rid of the weak. And making sure that only the strong survive, because that is how the race becomes stronger. And that's an uncomfortable truth for those who don't admit to the existence of God. You can't get from survival of the fittest to love your neighbor. Can't do it. But Putin is the poster boy for survival of the fittest. That Vlad is the poster boy, okay? Let's admit it.
So that's survival of the fittest. Natural selection fits in there as well. So why don't you give us, you know, and Darwin, you know, he threw all these theories out there. And today in schools, they're taught as fact. Why don't you just briefly just describe natural selection? You already did survival of the fittest.
Well, natural selection and survival of the fittest really are one and the same. Darwin first called it natural selection. That was Darwin's term for it. And then this other guy came up with the term survival of the fittest. And so in the fifth edition of Origin of Species, Darwin actually said, okay, I've always called it natural selection, but actually this other term, survival of the fittest, is a better description of what I'm talking about. So some people say, well, Darwin didn't come up with the term natural selection, and that's true, but it's misleading because Darwin himself has said it's actually a better description of my theory than the term natural selection. And that is basically where the strong survive and the weak are killed off, right? Those species that can adapt to the new harsh realities of life and rise up above them and survive, this is how it works. Those that survive, adapt, they survive. If you don't adapt, you don't survive. It's a harsh, brutal world.
So contrast survival of the fittest to Christianity, would you?
No. Okay. Two terms. Survival of the fittest over here, love your neighbor over here. Couldn't get any further diametrically opposed. The two really cannot inhabit the same universe. If one is true, the other is false. If the other is true, the first is false. It's either survival of the fittest or it's love your neighbor. But you cannot have love your neighbor without the God who says, love your neighbor. Do good to those who hate you. It starts with love God, love your neighbor. You pull God out of the scenario, that makes no logical sense. It may be self-evident there are moral absolutes, but you can't tell me where they come from. Not under survival of the fittest.
So if you pull God out of the equation, Vladimir Putin is a hero.
He is.
Bottom line.
Has to be.
All right, when we come back, we dig further into this conversation about, is Vladimir Putin a hero? Or, we'll just let Brad Bright fill that all in. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. We'll be right back.
Want to know more about how you can make God the issue in every issue? Get your copy of Brad's book, God is the Issue. Now in its third edition, you can get your ebook copy at brightmedia.org. Even better, if you subscribe to this podcast, you'll receive a coupon for one free download of God is the Issue ebook. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and get God is the Issue ebook today.
Welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast as we talk about, really, survival of the fittest, but we talk about is Vladimir Putin a hero? Or, we'll just let Brad talk about this. It's a fascinating conversation. All right, listen, Brad, as you mentioned in the first segment, there's this common sense of, or there's this common morality, as your professor conversation went, there's this morality that's there, but we're not sure where it comes from, and it's throughout all of humanity. I mean, all of humanity believes that, you know, if their sister or their wife gets raped, that's wrong. Or if somebody gets murdered, it's wrong. It doesn't matter which culture they come from. Where does that come from? And what are the innate common sense moralities that come from this? I mean, let's talk about that for a second.
Well, we know where it comes from. It comes from the fact that God exists. But if God doesn't exist, they're not really there that we're making those up. But let's face it. If you come into my house uninvited and you punch me in the face for no reason other than that just you're angry, I think everyone would say, that's wrong, right? If I break into your home and steal your stuff, steal your TV simply because I want a TV, everybody's going to say, that's wrong. I mean, whether you're talking murder or the really bad stuff, murder or rape or stuff like that, or even the not so bad stuff like stealing where no one really gets hurt, right? Well, you may not physically get hurt, but emotionally that'll beat you up pretty bad. But the point is, there are certain things we all instinctively say, that's wrong. And when we're talking about moral absolutes, those are the things we're talking about by and large. Now, sometimes our consciences are a little weird and people are a little mentally off, but I'm not talking about the exceptions. As a general rule, we all have those things that we know instinctively are wrong and are always wrong. And in every culture, that sense exists. That's what we're talking about.
So, Brad, if the God of the Bible does exist, what should drive our moral obligations to humanity?
Well, God said, love God, love your neighbor, do good to those who hate you. Now, what does it mean to love your neighbor? Jesus told us what it meant to love our neighbor. He said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That, in its most basic essence, is what it means to love your neighbor. That is to do to your neighbor what you want your neighbor to do to you. That's loving your neighbor. Now, that's as a general principle, right? I'm sure someone can come up with some sort of weird exception to that. I'm not going there. But for instance, here's what it looks like. When my father-in-law was an eight-year-old boy, he grew up on a farm in Iowa. His dad developed, I think it was a heart condition of some sort, so he couldn't go out and work in the fields to bring in the crop. He couldn't do anything. And so they were sitting there, and they knew the crops were going to rot in the field. And my father-in-law's name was Jay. He said, I remember the day when I looked down the road, and here come all of these combines driving down the road and onto our farm. There were 8, 9, 10 of these things. So they came into our field, they harvested the entire harvest in a day, left it with us, and drove off. Well, that's what it means to love your neighbor. That's what Jesus meant. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You realize there's that exact same dynamic that was the reason for the Civil War. Enough followers of Jesus started saying, slavery is wrong, and we have to get rid of it because there are these people created in the image of God, just like us, who were enslaving, and that's not right. And they were saying, we have to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And they said, we have to stand up for the defenseless.
Okay, so if the God of the Bible does exist, what does that make Vladimir Putin?
Well, it makes him a monster. I mean, it really does, because he is violating the law of God in the most blatant way. He has this huge country and all these resources, and he's attacking his smaller neighbor. And if that's not a violation of love your neighbor as yourself, I don't know what it is. And it's not just that he's not loving his neighbor. He is attacking and killing his neighbor.
Thousands of
violation of scripture. That by the thousands. And we consider that a monster. I mean, I do. A moral reprobate.
So what should our response be?
Well, do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So we have to look at Ukraine and Russia, right? Now, the first thing we need to do is understand is the first country that Putin conquered, it's not Ukraine, not Crimea. First country he conquered was Russia. There are many wonderful, wonderful Russian people that I'm sure right now are just shaking their heads and going, why is this happening? They feel for the Ukrainian people because they understand who the aggressor is here. Maybe there's some other issues, other smaller issues that Ukraine's not perfect. Fine. But who's the aggressor here? The aggressor is not just Russia, but Putin and his friends who have power in Russia. And they're trying to roll over another country. Now, I'm hoping that Ukraine will be able to rise up and stop them. That's my hope. But still, Putin is the aggressor. And as the aggressor, we need to ask the question for Ukraine. If Ukraine is my neighbor and Ukraine is in need, how is it that I am to love my neighbor country in this case? And Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I think that needs to be our guiding principle in how we decide to help Ukraine.
Hmm. What's incredible is this conversation started with a conversation about, you know, survival of the fittest, talking about is Vladimir Putin a hero or not, and our perspective on that. And Brad, when we come back on the God is the Issue podcast in our segment 3, I really want to talk about how do we make God the issue in this issue? How do we learn to love our neighbor and talk about that? Because it's a thing that can change our world. You listen to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright, and we'll be right back. Finishing up our conversation is Vladimir Putin, I can't even get his name out right, is Vladimir Putin a hero or not?
Brad Bright travels the country speaking and training people how to make God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, to find out how you can bring Brad's highly interactive workshop to your area. It's fun, engaging, and most important, it will help make you more effective in making God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and schedule Brad today.
Hey, welcome back to God is the Issue, our podcast focused on looking at the issues and making God the issue in every issue. And Brad, we've been talking about Vladimir Putin, but really an example of a conversation that's been going on in our country for 150 years about survival of the fittest and where that comes from. How do we make God the issue in this issue? It's not just about Vladimir Putin because there's evil things going on all over the world. How do we make God the issue here?
Well, here's the bottom line. Here's how you make God the issue. Is if God exists, Vladimir Putin is wrong. If God doesn't exist, not only is Vladimir Putin not doing anything, he is the poster boy for survival of the fittest. And we referred to this earlier. It's God's existence and character that determines the rightness or wrongness of what Vladimir Putin is doing. Because if God doesn't exist, then why do we really have a moral problem what he's doing? We may not like it, but that's different than a moral problem.
So is that a conversation we should have? You know, people that are taking sides on this whole thing, how would we say that? Do you start off with, you know, well, do you believe that God exists? And most people will speak. I mean, how do you start this conversation?
I say, well, do you agree with Jesus when Jesus said, love your neighbor and love your enemies, do good to those who hate you? Do you agree with Jesus? And what Jesus meant is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you think Jesus was right or wrong? And get them to commit there. And everybody says, well, Jesus was right. Yeah, you should do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you say, well, then how does that apply to the situation with Russia and Ukraine right now? And so you begin to get them to articulate to you what it means to do unto others as you would have them do unto you in this context.
And then, but how do we respond to our neighbor when they respond with bombs? I mean, this is such a tough conversation because Ukraine's not our neighbor, yet Ukraine, according to Jesus's principles, Ukraine is our neighbor, and so is Russia is our neighbor. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, can you lead us a little deeper into this conversation? Because this is one of those ones where it's been very politicized, and you don't really know all of the truth, but we do know bombs are going off in Ukraine, and people are dying on both sides of the war. How do we help people see that Vladimir Putin really isn't the hero here?
Well, first of all, you have to ask the question, what does it mean to love my neighbor in situation X, Y, or Z? What does it mean to love Russia in this case, right? If God loves me, is he going to hold me accountable? You bet he is. So if I love Russia, am I going to hold Russia accountable? You bet I am. I am not going to let specifically Vladimir Putin get away with mass murder. Why? It's my responsibility to hold him accountable. Just like 150 years ago, it was a responsibility of followers of Jesus to hold slave owners accountable, to bring them to account. It is still my obligation today to bring those same types of individuals to account to the best of my ability. Not because I hate them, but because they need to be held accountable. Why? Because of love. I also love the Ukrainian people. You know, this isn't whether I love the Russian people or love the Ukrainian people. I love the Russian people. They're wonderful people. I've spent time there. I love the Ukrainian people. But this is how do we extend that love in this situation. You need accountability, and then you need to come alongside those who are hurting to help them and bring aid to them as you can. In this case, it's Ukraine.
And in our conversations at church and in our small groups and at work, this is going to come up. Is it fair to start a conversation with, is Vladimir Putin a hero or not?
I mean, well, I think it's a great starting conversation, a great starting question. Because I think everybody goes, well, no, he's not. And you say, well, why isn't he? And if they say anything other than the fact that, well, because God exists, you say, then you can say, well, how does that make him a monster? I mean, if it really is survival of the fittest, why is he a monster? And it drives people back to the point of not saying there is a God, but of saying, I want there to be a God. And that's the critical conversation. My goal these days isn't to convince people that God exists. My goal is to convince them that they want God to exist.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful conversation to have. You see, if God doesn't exist, the ramifications of that on my life, on your life, are chilling. Because what it means is there is no restriction to keep the powerful from doing whatever they want to do to me and to you. There's no moral restrictions. There may be laws, but there's no moral restrictions on their behavior. And I don't want to live in a universe like that.
Thanks, Brad Bright. Great conversation today about, is Vladimir Putin really a hero? Thanks for joining us today on the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. Remember to check us out online at brightmedia.org, brightmedia.org. Remember, always be kind, always be compassionate, and always be shrewd while making God the issue in every issue.